My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
And welcome in, everybody. A very happy Wednesday afternoon to you. Gwynn and Chris on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, nice and cool in the air conditioning of the Odyssey Palace in beautiful San Diego, California. And our guy, Tony Gwynn Jr., in the 100-degree, 150% humidity of St. Louis, Missouri. I got to hand it to all broadcasters, all fans, all players, and especially even maybe all umpires. I was thinking about this last night.
Umpires
don't even get to go sit down between innings. It looked miserable last night, Tony Gwynn Jr., everywhere but on the scoreboard where the Padres march on.
That's a great point, by the way. If I was an umpire, I would definitely be sitting on, like, the netting in between innings.
Take some sort of break.
Like,
huh?
They don't sit down at all.
No.
Like, unless they come off to use the bathroom, that's probably the only time they can, like, have an attempt to sit down.
Yeah.
I would be doing that as a home plate umpire. I'd walk right back to the backstop, lean up against that net, and then when it's time to roll, come back out. It is crazy. But, yes, it was hot. All I could think about was showering after the first inning. And, you know, it was nice that the Padres, in a game that was some back and forth, a sweaty seesaw, as my partner called it last night.
Sweaty seesaw.
The Padres just continue to roll, man. Again, they do it in different ways. They did the double steal late.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Big.
That was beautiful.
Moving McCoy to third was big on the side. I mean, there was just so many things that they executed well. On a night, they didn't necessarily get the best start. Bullpen comes in, do their thing. You know, Hoang had his first hiccup, it seemed like. After that, they settled in. They gave up nothing from that point on, and the Padres take the first two games of the series. It's just, again, nothing that, like, is extraordinary on a night like this. Just some old-fashioned stick-to-itness and execution
wins
you a ball game.
Little Al Davis last night, right? Just win, baby. Just find a way to get it done last night. Padres continue this remarkable stretch. It is now a 34-game stretch, which is, you know, over a month, nearly a month and a half with days off, a month and a half of sustained excellence in baseball to go 26-8, you know, since that one loss at the beginning of the All-Star break. There is, I don't think there's an argument. If you want to make one, go ahead, but I think they're the best team in baseball for the last month and a half. I know the Diamondbacks have a similar record, but I don't think the Diamondbacks have had the kind of dramatics and kind of victories that the Padres have had, and winning in Baltimore and coming from behind over and over again and winning with tying home runs and then in extra innings. I think right now they look like the best team in the league. And, you know, the one thing that stood out to me last night, Tony, that was different than all of the other victories they've had in this recent run is that for the first time, the scoreboard was their friend as well. The Dodgers lost, the Diamondbacks lost, and they gained some ground in the NL West. They're now three back. They are knocking on the door of the best record in the league, and I know that that is not their goal. I don't even think it should be our goal, honestly. But I was looking at this, Tony, and it would be some kind of feather in the cap of this team. The Padres, in their 55 years of existence, have never once had the best record in the National League. They never have. The years they went to the World Series in 84, the Cubs had a better record that year. Obviously, in 98, they were seated behind the Braves in that playoff. So, I, you know, there is something to it. It doesn't, you know, a parade is a whole lot better at the very end. But this team is starting to get me to believe things of total grandeur right now. And maybe I should just calm down.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't care about none of that stuff. Honestly,
I know.
Best record, best, you know, win the division, get in, however you want to do it. I don't really care because it's at the end of the day, we didn't talk about how good the Padres were in 22. All we talked about was the run they went on.
That's right.
And I think that's what it really boils down to. Those things are nice. It's, and I've said it, you know, winning a division is important in terms of setting the type of what's the word I'm looking for? Like,
when just gives you the best opportunity, I think. To me.
Forget that. I'm talking about in terms of what you want to build with your organization.
Precedence.
Right? It sets a tone, right? When you win, you go out and win your division, right? There's a certain gravitas that comes with you. That's why the Dodgers are who they are. They won one World Series in this whole run here.
Yeah.
But because they go out and win the division pretty much every year, they're going to constantly hold that kind of weight. And so, listen, as you said, the parade is the thing at the end, right? You want to win a World Series. You are starting to hear talk nationally of people that believe the Padres can win the World Series, especially in MLB Network right now. I feel like everybody up there right now is on the bandwagon.
No, and
right
now. I bet you Brian Kenny's carrying the flag, probably.
Well, I bet you I bet you he's the hard holdout. Which
he probably is.
Well, he has to be. He tried to break up the team earlier this
year.
Yes,
he did. Yes, he did.
No doubt about it. But I just for me, I would love for them to win the division. I could care less about the best record in baseball or the National League. All it matters is getting in and playing your best baseball at that point. And right now, they're setting themselves up to be able to do that. And, you know, I brought up, I think we talked about the other day about the Diamondbacks being on an incredible pace and the Padres kind of, you know, had that week where they went 4-3 and they went 5-5, you know, right before that, or they went 500 right before that. Ultimately, as you just pointed out, Chris, over a 34-game span, it's still an impressive run they've been on, regardless of whether it's been the best run in that amount of games. This team is doing it by playing the game the right way. There's been some heroics, of course. The Padres have come back. I think they got the second most comeback victories in baseball this year. But their foundation is built on playing the game right. And it's not dependent on one specific thing. They get good pitching, they don't get good pitching. They get good bullpen, a bullpen might have a hiccup. They still find ways to win. And, you know, they got, as I said yesterday, they got that magic, just kind of, there's something magical about this squad that's hard to deny at this point.
You know, one of the guys that the television broadcast spent some quality time on last night was our hitting coach, Rodriguez. Victor Rodriguez. And he was talking a lot about their approach and, you know, I don't know, how they think about, you know, putting the ball in play with two strikes, et cetera. And they put up a stat, the Padres have the best batting average in baseball this year when their hitters have two strikes, which isn't surprising since they have the best batting average in baseball overall. But I noticed Profar last night got down 0-2 and then hit a deep fly to center field, almost in a sense giving himself up to get that run in from third base. And they've had a lot of two-strike hits. I think Manny's home run was with two strikes the other night. Peralta had a big hit with two strikes. This is all part of the success of this team and the hitting coach and the theory. Tony, what are they doing, though? I mean, I can't imagine other teams aren't trying to do, you know, the same thing. I mean, do you notice the Padre hitters shortening up a little with two strikes? Is that what it is? But, I really like it.
This has been something that's been happening literally all season long. Like, it's literally been happening all season long in terms of the type of at bat. It's a mindset. It's not necessarily, you know, you going up there shortening up, and that, don't get me wrong, they do, that does happen from time to time, but it's a mindset. It's an understanding of what you want to do, what you're trying to do, and then that changes depending on the count and what the scoreboard is telling you. And it takes reps, right? And I think that was part of the constant 500, over 500, below 500, 500, like throughout the first half of the season. As they started to get those reps and things started to cement as who they were as an offense, now you're just seeing it at a more consistent level. I think all year long, up and down the lineup, I would say at different parts in the first half, there'd be different parts that executed that very well. It might be 1-5 one night. It might be 1-3-5-8 that one night. But there was remnants of it throughout the season. I think the difference is now you're legitimately getting a 1-9 type battle when you have it. It don't always result in the result that you're looking for. Like, it may not end up in a fly ball to center that advances a runner. But so often, I'm looking down at my chart, and we're 6, 7, 8, 9 pitches into an at-bat, yeah. And it's not the same guy every time. I mean, Mason McCoy puts together an at-bat like that. Campy will put an at-bat together like that. Kyle Gashioka will put an at-bat like that. We know Jerickson and Arise put at-bats like that at the top of the lineup. Manny does. I mean, it's literally everybody in the lineup doing that. And that wears on a starter. It wears on a reliever. And when you're doing that, a lot of you end up putting yourself in good spots to be aggressive, to take the kind of, you know, swings where you can split an alley or hit a ball out of the ballpark. And I think more, just as important, pitchers start to make mistakes. When you get to 7, 8, 9, 10 pitch at bats, they've been executing 7, 8, 9 pitches in a row. There's a mess up in there somewhere, and a lot of times the Padres are right there for the mess up, and even when it's not a mess up, the Padres still find a way to execute, and I just think that is why we're talking about this team the way we're talking about them.
You know, nobody cares how I went about pitching way back when in the old days, but I will tell you this, Tony, since I didn't throw hard, I usually
stop it. That was the perfect usage. You set me up.
When I would pitch, and since I didn't throw hard, guys would usually put the ball in play on the first or second pitch, maybe the third pitch. Something would happen. Whenever I got in at bat where some guy was fouling off like 6, 7 pitches in a row, I honestly used to get mad, Tony, and almost lob one down the middle so he could just hit it and get the bat over with. It drove me crazy.
Wait, and you, I think, gave up on the at-bat?
A lot of, in a sense, yes, I did. I wanted them to just hit it and get it in play so I could start working on the next guy because I got tired of them fouling it off. and I'm bringing this up because this is what Tony's saying out there. You know, these pitchers are they're getting frustrated. They can't get them out. So many foul balls, so many pitches, and so many quality results. You know, last night, the thing that stands out to me as much as anything, first of all, they came from behind once. They came from behind twice. They scored 7 runs last night. The only big slug hit I can remember them getting was Manny's home run. All of this stuff seemed to happen on opposite field singles, ground balls, sacrifice flies, bloopers that fell in, a little shot here or there. They manufactured not 2 runs, 7 runs with a bunch of good at-bats and quality performances.
Yeah, man. Unlike Chris,
you don't think the pitcher's giving up,
just throwing down the middle. I don't think they're doing that. Pressure bursts pipes, and sometimes when you're getting that kind of pressure added to you, it used to happen. A good example was Barry Bonds. He didn't get very many pitches to hit, right? But you got in a situation sometimes where they'd be trying to be so fine off the plate or on the corner. You end up making a mistake in the middle of the plate, and he would hit a homer. I think that's after 9 pitches, you execute just the laws of average. You're going to make a mistake at some point, and I thought that was on Manny's at bat. He never got to a count where it was like he was ahead, but he fouled off so many pitches, and when he hit the homer. He got a change up that was elevated. The pitcher had just hung a breaking ball that he was out in front of and fouled back the previous pitch. Tried to throw a change up, trying to be fine with it, left it over to up in the zone, and he hit it a mile. So, man, this team is rolling right now in a good way. The one thing I think we do got to keep an eye on is, the bullpen. They have, yesterday still covered quite a bit.
4+.
Four plus after getting a reprieve the day before from Vasquez, tonight they hope to get another reprieve. Because listen, I know it doesn't seem like there's a lot of season left, and there's not. There's a month, but that's still 30 plus games you got coming down the chute here that you got to make sure you can get through and then be good to go come playoff time.
Well, right now the beat goes on for the Padres. As mentioned, 7-5 was the final last night, and they just keep on rolling. And again, on the road, they're now 39-26 on the road. They don't have the best record in the National League. They have it by a mile. Like, there's no one even close to them on the road. They look comfortable, even in the miserable conditions of St. Louis, Missouri. I'm sweating just thinking about it. We're underway. Good to have you with us on a short program this Wednesday afternoon. Gwen and Chris rolling till about 3:30 or so. Then Sam Lev comes along with the pregame show. Tony and Jesse with the game at about 4:45. Until then, sit back, relax, and sit in front of an air conditioner on 97.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rips, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Yeah. It's literally been happening all season long in terms of the type of at-bat. It's a mindset. It's not necessarily, you know, you going up there shortening up, and that, don't get me wrong, that does happen from time to time, but it's a mindset. It's an understanding of what you want to do, what you're trying to do, and then that changes depending on the count and what the scoreboard is telling you. And it takes reps, right? And I think that was part of the constant 500, over 500, below 500, 500, like throughout the first half of the season. As they started to get those reps and things started to cement as who they were as an offense, now you're just seeing it at a more consistent level. I think all year long, up and down the lineup, I would say at different parts in the first half, there'd be different parts that executed that very well. It might be 1-5 one night. It might be 1-3-5-8 that one night. But there was remnants of it throughout the season. I think the difference is now you're legitimately getting a 1-9 type battle when you have it. It don't always result in the result that you're looking for. Like, it may not end up in a fly ball to center that advances a runner. But so often I'm looking down at my chart and we're 6, 7, 8, 9 pitches into an at bat. Yeah. And it's not the same guy every time. I mean, Mason McCoy puts together an at-bat like that. Campy will put an at-bat together like that. Kai Ogashioka will put an at-bat like that. We know Jerickson and Arise put at-bats like that at the top of the lineup. Manny does. I mean, it's literally everybody in the lineup doing that. And that wears on a starter. It wears on a reliever. And when you're doing that, you end up putting yourself in good spots to be aggressive, to take the kind of, you know, swings where you can split an alley or hit a ball out of the ballpark. And I think more, just as important, pitchers start to make mistakes. When you get to 7, 8, 9, 10 pitch at bats, they've been executing 7, 8, 9 pitches in a row. There's a mess up in there somewhere. And a lot of times the Padres are right there for the mess up. And even when it's not a mess up, the Padres still find a way to execute. And I just think that is why we're talking about this team the way we're talking about them.
You know, nobody cares how I went about pitching way back when in the old days. But I will tell you this, Tony. Since I didn't throw hard, I usually... Stop it!
That was the perfect usage. You set me up.
When I would pitch, and since I didn't throw hard, guys would usually put the ball in play on the first or second pitch, maybe the third pitch. Something would happen. Whenever I got an at-bat where some guy was fouling off like 6, 7 pitches in a row, I honestly used to get mad, Tony, and almost lob one down the middle so he could just hit it and get the at-bat over with. It drove me crazy.
Wait, and you think gave up on the at-bat?
A lot of in a sense. Yes, I did. I wanted them to just hit it and get it in play so I could start working on the next guy. Because I got tired of them fouling it off. And I'm bringing this up because this is what Tony's saying out there. You know, these pitchers are they're getting frustrated. They can't get them out. So many foul balls, so many pitches, and so many quality results. You know, last night, the thing that stands out to me as much as anything, first of all, they came from behind once. They came from behind twice. They scored 7 runs last night. The only big slug hit I can remember them getting was Manny's home run. All of this stuff seemed to happen on opposite field singles, ground balls, sacrifice flies, bloopers that fell in, a little shot here or there. They manufactured not 2 runs, 7 runs with a bunch of good at-bats and quality performances.
Yeah, man. I don't unlike Chris.
You don't think the pitcher's giving up?
Just throwing down the middle. I don't think they're doing that. Pressure bursts pipes. And sometimes when you're getting that kind of pressure added to you, it used to happen with, a good example was Barry Bonds. He didn't get very many pitches to hit, right? But you got in a situation sometimes where they'd be trying to be so fine off the plate or on the corner. You end up making a mistake in the middle of the plate, and he would hit a homer. I think that's after 9 pitches, you execute just the laws of average. You're going to make a mistake at some point, and that I thought that was on Manny's at bat. He never got to a count where it was like he was ahead, but he fouled off so many pitches, and that when he hit the homer. He got a change up that was elevated. The pitcher had just hung a breaking ball that he was out in front of and fouled back the previous pitch. Tried to throw a change up, trying to be fine with it, left it over to up in the zone, and he hit it a mile. So, man, this team is rolling right now in a good way. The one thing I think we do got to keep an eye on is, the bullpen. They have, yesterday still covered quite a bit.
4+.
Four plus after getting a reprieve the day before from Vasquez, tonight they hope to get another reprieve. Because listen, I know it doesn't seem like there's a lot of season left, and there's not. There's a month, but that's still 30 plus games you got coming down the chute here that you got to make sure you can get through and then be good to go come playoff time.
Well, right now the beat goes on for the Padres. As mentioned, 7-5 was the final last night, and they just keep on rolling. And again, on the road, they're now 39-26 on the road. They don't have the best record in the National League. They have it by a mile. Like, there's no one even close to them on the road. They look comfortable, even in the miserable conditions of St. Louis, Missouri. I'm sweating just thinking about it. We're underway. Good to have you with us on a short program this Wednesday afternoon. Gwen and Chris rolling till about 3:30 or so. Then Sam Lev comes along with the pregame show. Tony and Jesse with the game at about 4:45. Until then, sit back, relax, and sit in front of an air conditioner. On 97.3 The Fan. Air Mesa, if you're in that neck of the woods, even if you're not, you might want to go out of your way because you can win some tickets and you could win wings for a year. So that's all next Wednesday. We'll tell you more about that as that's coming up. We got to take a break already because it's a short show. We got to get to our Big Five. What?
This is my favorite segment of the week.
I know. We were talking about giving a bunch of fun stuff away. So we'll come back. More Gwen and Chris. We got a Big Five headed your way this hour, brought to you by Floor and Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in stock selection. Floor and Decor has more styles of laminate, vinyl, tile, wood, and stone. For anyone looking for the right look at the right price, your next beautiful space is at Floor and Decor. Floor and Decor, unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. Gwen and Chris, thanks for being with us.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Yes.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Padres continue to roll along in St. Louis. It's much more fun, guys, I think, to watch a team that when they go down by a run, you know that they have a chance to come back. It makes the game just more fun to watch. I don't know about you guys, but that's how I feel. So, all right. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Number five.
Dylan Cease last night.
We've been talking about this all day, so I don't know why you're thinking that this is an incredible, you know, note that you brought up.
Well, now it's
yes,
my
it
turn.
Is. It is great
now
for them.
Now it's my turn to say that.
It is great for them to, you know, win these
I'm
games.
I'm talking
yes.
about entertainment value.
Yes, okay.
I'm not talking about, like, actual baseball value. I'm talking right. about entertainment.
Pretty sure we opened the show with that
okay.
exact sentence.
I know. Oh, is that right?
Were you not here?
Is that right? I don't think I was. Dylan Cease, I love him. He seems like a very interesting guy off the field as well, which is fun. But he gave up 4 runs last night. I'm just going to get right to it, guys.
Uh-huh.
And we know that he's been really good at times this year. We know that he threw a no-hitter. We knew that he gave up like 1 hit over 5 or 3 starts, whatever. I could have done that better. Chris, heading into the stretch of the season, are we worried about Dylan Cease?
I'm not. I don't think anybody should have been even allowed to pitch in those conditions last night in St. Louis. That was a night. It had to be a nightmare. I mean, I don't even know how you tee it up for 4 and a third innings, and that to me was impressive. I mean, that's oppressive heat. It's ridiculous. I don't think you can feel comfortable and relaxed. He's had 1 quality start since his no hitter, so that. That is one note that might make people, you know, feel like they're concerned, but I'm not. This is the typical course of a season for a starting pitcher. Even the great ones, you know, have stretches where they don't get touched for about a week and a half or two, and then they give up a few runs. I mean, it's tough. I mean, these guys can hit out there. So, no, I'm very concerned about how Dylan sees pitch of October, but I feel very comfortable sending him out there.
Tony, are you worried about Dylan Cease?
Ditto.
I didn't know where it was going to go. I was almost afraid to ask, to be honest.
No, I'm not worried about Dylan. This is, as Chris said, the normal course of a season. And as long as he's good to go by playoff time, that's all that really ultimately matters. I don't read too much into, you know, a start, couple starts where, you know, he hasn't been his normal self. He was out of body for three or four starts where, he, as you said, he only gave it one hit. So, you know, he's having a good year despite these last few bad outings. I mean, the guy, I look at stuff and I marvel at this kind of stuff. I mean, he's 12-10 going into that game, 22 decisions. That means he's pitching deep in the games. He's in there long enough to get wins and losses. He's been healthy all year long. I don't worry about that.
Plus, Scraby, you had to pitch last night basically wearing a wet sport coat. I don't know. I mean, maybe it just looked that way on television, Tony. His jersey looked like it was soaked through by the bottom of the first inning.
I heard you and Jesse actually talking about it.
It was incredible. I've never seen, you know, that kind of sweat and humidity. And for guys to have to pitch, it was crazy.
Well, you know, I think it's important we mention that both guys had to pitch in
the same
weather. And I think the color of our uniforms made that look absurd. Yeah, it made it look crazy because I'm sure the other guy was sweat, too. He just had a white uniform on.
You're right. But it looked like Dylan Cease went in between innings, dipped his jersey in water, and then came back out.
It wasn't even in between innings. It was the first inning before he even threw a pitch. He was already like
that. He looked uncomfortable. The other guy looked uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable.
I know. This really affected you, Chris.
I tell you, uncomfortable. The Padres' offense did look uncomfortable.
Hey, they were fun.
They were as hot as the weather.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Thank you.
Rib shot.
Number four. Ken Rosenthal wrote an opinion piece. I'll just let everybody know. I got two topics today from the two guys. This is Tony's topic. It's a good one. Chris's topic is a good one, too. Ken Rosenthal wrote an opinion piece about the National League MVP race and brought up what some think is a pretty good point about Shohei Ohtani. Sure, his offensive numbers are way up there, but he's not playing defense this year. He's just a DH. So, Tony, does Shohei Ohtani's lack of defense matter in the MVP?
It should. I mean, it always has, right? I mean, there's been some DHs that have had tremendous years and were discounted because, in the MVP I'm talking, because they didn't have a position. I mean, I think it should. Now, the question is, in the National League, is there anybody doing anything worth challenging that this year? It's hard to come up with someone. Ketel Marte hurt right now. This is a good question. I think it should matter. I think the most valuable player, you know, I think we're all going to be jaded by, at least the voters, I think. I'm almost positive we'll be jaded by the fact that they have seen Shohei Ohtani pitch and pitch at an extremely high level. I think most people have a hard time removing that from their brain as they're trying to make an objective pick here. But I do challenge that even if he's not pitching this year, is there anybody having the kind of year that could challenge that, right? We'd be having a completely different conversation if Shohei was still in the American League right now, right? I think there's certainly two guys who are playing both sides of the baseball that could make an argument. Obviously, Judge is at the top of that list, but he's in the American League. And Chris, can you think of anybody else outside of Ketel Marte?
No.
Maybe
who, that's Do 40 having... stolen bases help?
Yeah, they don't hurt, especially if he ends up with 50.
Are you kidding me?
I know, but does it outweigh the no defense?
Nobody's ever had 50-50. I mean, itself is going to put him in the...
I think in this year it does matter. That 50, I mean, that's a whole different... He's by himself. He's like when Bonds did 40-40. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's nobody else. It's just you. And so
that is pretty crazy.
Jose Canseco won the MVP the year that he became the first guy to go 40-40, and he was a DH. Jose right. Canseco couldn't field a ground ball or catch a fly ball to save his life. But when he was went 40, when he went 40-40, it was like, well, nobody's ever even we've never seen this before. It was a landslide right vote.
There's definitely exceptions in an MVP year, right? Yeah. Every year is different. Clayton Kershaw won an MVP. Clearly, he's not hitting.
Yeah. Dennis Eckersley won one as a reliever one time.
That's right. There are exceptions to the rule, and although I think this is a good debate, I think in 2024 in the National League, especially if he gets to 50-50, even if he doesn't get, if he gets close to 50-50, I don't see anybody in the National League having the kind of year that, you know, trumps that.
Chris?
Yeah, I don't either. You know, I think it does. It should matter. I don't think it ever really does matter. When they lay out, you know, and they put up on the screen on, you know, MLB Network or ESPN, the great candidates point. For MVP, they don't put up any fielding statistics. They don't great put point. Any F-War statistics. They don't put any BAPIP statistics or range statistics. They put up home runs, RBI, slugging, OPS, steals.
War.
A little war. So I
have declared war on war.
On war.
I want that's a good one, Scrape. I'm right behind
all
you.
Right.
I'm right behind you, loaded for bear there. But no, this is a runaway. I mean, the only interesting question is who's going to finish second behind him. But it is a fair point to bring up, and it's one that Edgar Martinez had to overcome after years and years of trying to get into the Hall of Fame. All right.
Did Big Poppy ever win an MVP?
I don't know that Big Poppy ever got an MVP. That's a fair question. I don't think he did.
I don't think he did.
But Edgar took, you know, many, many years to get in as a you know, DH, you know, hitting infielder. And, you know, he was certainly had the numbers to get in, but they finally
he was a
awarded
World Series
him.
MVP and yeah. ALCS MVP.
Poppy, yeah.
I'm not seeing
I don't
him
think he
as
won
MVP.
League MVP. But, you know, it's I don't think too many people think of the fielding unless the offense is really close. And this year it's not in the NL.
All right. Number three. Rams head coach Sean McVay announced yesterday his starting running back, Kyren Williams, is also going to be their primary punt returner. He told the media, quote, it's another opportunity for him to get touches and impact the game, and you feel comfortable with that because of the confidence in Blake Corum and Ronnie Rivers being able to spell him if need be, end quote. Chris, do you think it's a good idea to have your starting running back as your primary punt returner?
It's a great idea until he gets hurt returning a punt. That's the answer. I mean, yeah. I think it's fine. He's an explosive runner. I'm sure you're happy about it.
I'm not because I don't get any points for it.
Yeah, of course you do.
No,
if he returns a punt for a touchdown, you will score
points. It's a
point.
Defensive touchdown.
You should still score his points for a touchdown. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. The question doesn't have to do with you. The question has to do...
He made it about me.
I know I did. I apologize. No, that's the answer. I mean, it's a great idea. I mean, Tyreek Hill should return punts for the Dolphins or kickoffs. He's the best runner. I don't mind taking chances like this personally. You know, Sean, what's this guy's name, this coach that I don't
McVay.
Like? Sean McVay, yeah. I put him out of my mind. You know, he's smarter than the rest of us anyway.
Well,
so
did,
can't argue
did
with
win
him.
A Super Bowl.
So did Sean Payton. Doesn't look too smart about now.
Good point, Chris.
Thank you.
Tony, is it smart to have your running back, your starting running back, as your primary punt returner?
I guess I'll tweak my answer a little bit from Chris. If he can stay healthy the whole time, it's a good one. Otherwise, I don't see this being a great idea because I don't. And listen, maybe the new kickoff rules lend itself. Did you say punt or kickoff?
Punt. I think he's doing punts.
Oh, yeah. Because
Debo might be doing some kicks.
Maybe.
I could see kickoffs because,
yeah,
you know, it's a little less dangerous now. But, yeah, man, running back position is already a position that you take a beating. I don't see why adding more beating to the
I think that's a good point, Tony. And here's the other thing that I'm going to go against Sean McVay now since I don't like him.
Wow.
There's
taking
really
a leap here.
Well, I think the risk reward is not equal here.
Maybe he's good at punt return.
If he starts averaging 28 yards a punt return, then I'll change my answer. But punt return guys only average 7-8 yards a punt return, as opposed to another guy who might average 6-7. So, what is the risk is that he's hurt and he missed 5 games. The reward is he gains an extra
field
3
position,
yards.
Field position, man. It's a game of field position, Chris.
I hope it hurt Sean McVay.
Number 2.
Dick Mountain is back. Mitch Hell is back in the majors, nearly 2 decades and more than a dozen teams since he made his big league debut. If he gets one outing in 2024, which he will, it will make him the only active player to appear in a game in each of the past 20 seasons. Manager of the Red Sox, Alex Cora, I did that on my own.
Sure.
Quote, he looks great physically. He's always taking care of that part. He's excited to be back. He was very diligent the last few months about his craft. He's always done it. So now, no doubt about him physically. He's going to be okay. He's going to throw the ball well. End quote. He was at AAA Worcester before this. So, my question is this, and I know Tony's not going to like it. There's no one better in their entire organization to choose than Rich Hill?
Was there a question there somewhere?
Yeah, waiting for the question.
Okay. My question is there anyone better in the entire organization to choose than Rich Hill?
Clearly not. I mean,
I knew that was the answer.
Dumb question. I mean,
I'll agree with that.
Let's not be disrespectful. Rich Hill has been a major leaguer for a long time, a lot longer
seasons
than myself. There you go. So, probably not. Is there people who throw harder? I'm sure. Are there people who can spin it better? Maybe. But can they pitch? You know, can they get a big leaguer out? That's a different question, and I think the answer is no, because that's why they called Rich Hill up. Those other guys possibly need more seasoning or not good enough.
All right, Chris.
I just want to hear Alex Cora talk about Rich Hill about mid-September. See what kind things he has to say about him then.
I think I would have a much better outlook on him, but last year...
It was so bad last year. Look, I hope Rich Hill goes up and gives him a couple of performances. I like guys that can pitch. In a day and age where it all comes down to the radar gun and all that, Rich Hill's kind of the opposite. Good for him. I'm going to root for anybody over the age of 40 still playing Major League Baseball. And, you know, it does seem kind of a desperation move by the Red Sox. And it says something about their farm system or their unwillingness to bring up some young pitcher to get those innings.
Were we saying that when, you know, the Padres were signing the likes of Ramirez and some of these older guys that their farm system must be trash because they keep bringing up these older guys? No, I think the fact of the matter is you don't want to rush a young dude up. You could ruin him. So why not bring a guy up? There's zero...
Consequence
to bringing Rich Hill and Dick Mountain and letting him eat some innings.
Yeah, but there is some consequence. I mean, if you lose every game he starts 11-2, I mean,
what's the consequence? I want to hear the consequence.
You lose all these games. I mean,
are they in it? I'm sorry, the Red Sox?
They're three or four games out of the last wild card. They're the first wild card team that's out of the playoffs in the American League. So, you know, if they have a strong September, they conceivably could catch Minnesota.
They're not calling Rich Hill up because they feel like they have a chance to go to the playoffs or that they even care to go to the playoffs this year. Okay. They wouldn't be making this move.
That's kind of a good point.
How far back are they?
They're 4 games back of the Twins, but you have the Orioles, the Guardians, the Royals, and the Twins.
Yes, but if they catch one of those teams, they would make the playoffs. To me, that is 4 games with over a month to go. You shouldn't eliminate yourself.
I don't think they're eliminating themselves. I don't know. I was the one who brought the question up. So
yes, you were.
I'm appreciating your candor, Chris.
You're welcome.
Number one.
All right, this is the topic that came from Chris, and I'm going to read it exactly like he texted it. 4 Big 5, ... Last night at U.S. Open tennis all-time record, 5-hour, 35-minute match, Evans beat Kachanov.
Yeah.
Chris,
that's all right. That's hard.
That was actually pretty close.
Yeah.
What sport requires you to be in the best shape to play?
Yeah, I thought it was fun to think about. I mean, these guys are out there for 5.5 hours yesterday, and you know, they're playing. It's only a first round match too, so imagine. I think Evans was the winner. He's a great from Great Britain, so he not only wins that, but 2 days later he's got to get back out there and play another match. So yeah, it's, I think it's pretty impressive. So I was thinking, you know, what is the most the hardest one? The first thing I thought of was I can eliminate two sports, and it's not fair, but I'm going to eliminate golf, even though you have to walk. And I'm going to eliminate baseball, even though you have to play every day. I think the other sports are all in contention for, you know, for it. Basketball, I think you have to be in amazing shape. Football, you definitely have to be in incredible shape to play in those games. But I think hockey was the one that stood out to me because they take a beating like a football player does, but they take it 3 times a week. But tennis might win. I mean, I don't know another sport. I mean, there's
speed
no
speed walking.
There's no marathon running. Okay. I know. We could get into all of these other sports that I'm not even thinking about. But I've always been impressed with tennis, that you could be out there mentally for 5.5 hours and be out there by yourself without any teammates, without any coaches, and have to negotiate a match like that. So I don't know that there's a direct answer. I think it's pretty. All sports have their say.
Tony, what sport requires you to be in the best shape to play?
Yeah, I couch this by saying, if we're talking about, I mean, even college sports, I mean, you got to be in tremendous shape to play all of these sports that were just named, including baseball. But for me, and not so much in college and baseball, I'd say more professional baseball.
Yeah, because it's every day.
Mental, it's every day. I would actually say it's either basketball or soccer that take
soccer,
up
the, soccer the, you run about most, 10 miles a match.
That's a lot. And you know, the only thing I would say about tennis that I would push against is, you know, after what, every 3 games they go get to sit down and have a breather, and then they come back out. Obviously all matches don't go 5 hours and however many minutes that one. That's a bit of an extreme on that end. But I would say it's those three that are the ones you got to be in most shape. I would eliminate hockey because after I found out that each line runs about 45 seconds.
Yeah, that's true.
Every shift.
45 seconds, that's it.
That's a long period of time to go full speed, but you know, you still only got to go 45.
So
I eliminate hockey.
You better be careful. Some guy's going to check you into the boards while you're not looking.
He won't check me to the board because I won't be nowhere near the boards to check. I'm going to pick one. I'll say those three though: tennis, soccer, and basketball are the ones I think you got to be most in shape.
That was pretty impressive though for those guys. Imagine it started at like 2 o'clock.
That's crazy.
2 o'clock got over at 7:35 at night.
Not only physically taxing, that's mentally taxing.
Mentally, yeah.
All right, that's it for the Big Five. When we get back, we'll get you set for tonight's game.
Welcome back to your home for Padres baseball, and aren't we proud to be associated with that these days? Quinn and Chris, the program here on 97.3 The Fan. That is San Diego's number one sports talk station. Glad you're with us this afternoon. Sammy Levitt is outside the studio right now, pulling whatever little hair he has left out, trying to figure out what he's going to talk about on today's pregame show.
Don't out him like that.
I told Sammy, I go, Sammy, this is like the best team in baseball right now. Just gush.
Sam is always prepared.
Oh, he is. He's a Boy Scout. So he'll be ready. He's coming in here in a little while for the Padre pregame show, the Eco Water SoCal Padre pregame show. Then Tony and Jesse have the call of the game at 4:45 today. You know, last night, again, it just, you know, how are they going to find a way? Right? They're down 2-0. Okay. No biggie. They're down again 5-4. Okay. No biggie. And you just feel like they're going to win. You don't know how they're going to win, but they're going to find a way. And, you know, I mentioned this to Tony earlier. I thought this was really one of the nice things about last night's win. Yeah, they got the home run by Machado, but the other 6 runs the Padres got last night, a bouncing 9-hop single to right field by Campusano, right, in the second inning, which, you know, I give him credit. He fought off a tough pitch, got enough of it, and, you know, got it through the hole. The next run scored on a ground out by McCoy.
Yes.
And then Arraez singled with two outs. That was a clutch hit. So that's how they got those four runs. And then the other three runs they got on a sacrifice fly. And again, I mentioned it. I thought Profar there, he was down 0-2 in the count when the Padres did that double steal, man. It was awesome. And so Profar comes up and just says, now a fly ball, get me in, tie the game. So he hits a fly ball. That's great team baseball.
Fundamental baseball.
Yes. And then Cronenworth got a run in on an RBI, but then McCoy scored on a wild pitch. So last night they scored on a ground out, a fly out, and a wild pitch. That was half their scoring. That's when you know things are not only going well, but you're doing things right.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just, 26-8. I'll give you an idea how long of a stretch of games that is. It's 34, obviously.
Oh, good math.
Thank you. But here's how long a stretch. They only have 28 games left. So they're closer to the end of the season than they are to the beginning of this stretch of baseball. It's been going for a long time. It's been fantastic to watch. I know Tony kind of poo-pooed it, and I, to a certain extent, I get why he is.
Yeah.
But I really wouldn't mind ending up with the best record in the National League.
I wouldn't either.
Or the best record in baseball. The Padres have never done that. And I understand the ultimate goal is to win it all. Believe me, I know. But 5 years from now, if you don't win it all, you can always look back and say, man, 2024 was a special season. That was the year we had the best record in baseball, something we've never done before.
What you just said is true. Like, I understand why Tony says right now they're in it to make the playoffs, win the World Series.
Win the World Series.
But also, in the back of their mind, they want to be like, hey, we had the best record in baseball.
It would be nice to have that one time. It's 55 years of baseball. We've never had it. We've never been the number one seed in the National League, ever.
That would be incredible.
Not once.
Especially where we were before the All-Star break.
So, you know, to sit and look at it right now, Dodgers and Phillies are tied, although the Phillies aren't going to be tied for
Phillies
long.
Phillies are getting crushed.
They're
right
getting
now.
Hammered by the Astros.
Yordan Alvarez just hit his second home run.
So what is it, 8-9-0
now? It's 9-0.
Yeah, so Phillies are going to lose today. The Yankees.
10-0, I'm sorry.
Sorry, thank you. They scored while we were talking.
They hit back-to-back home runs.
I see. Yankees are a half game back of the Phillies and Dodgers. Baltimore's 1.5 back. Milwaukee's 2.5 back. And then Arizona, Cleveland, Padres, 3 games back. That's how close it is. I'm not saying you, and I know Mike Schilt's not going to. You don't go crazy to try and get the best record. But at the same time, you're this close. Keep playing good baseball, see what happens. It wouldn't bother me. I'd love it. And if you got the best record, what would come with it is first a bye. And I'm a little over everybody saying, oh, I'm scared to buy. You know what? If you don't play in the first round, you can't lose in the first round.
Yeah, your team is still alive.
It is stupid to not want the bye. So just get there.
I don't think it's stupid.
Don't take any chances of losing a game or a series. 2 games in a row, you could be out. So I want to get the division, I want the bye, I want the home field, I want everything happening at Petco Park, and why not? You're close to getting it right now. Doesn't mean you sacrifice everything to get the best record. Don't mean that, because the biggest picture is at the end, a parade. But while we're at it, it's not going to hurt my feelings.
Let's do this other stuff.
We're aiming for the big cake, man.
Thank you, Fernando. By the way, they're doing all of this, and he's still not back.
There are many people out there that say that this team is in worse shape with Fernando. I don't know how you could say that.
They're the same people that say that they don't want to buy in the first round of the playoffs.
The numbers correlate to that, but it doesn't make any sense.
They don't make any sense.
Yordan Alvarez does not just have 2 home runs. He has 3.
He has 3 today.
Yes.
All right. Is it still 10-0, or did they add on to it while we were talking?
I missed one of his barrage of home runs.
Yes. All right. It's all Astros. Phillies are going to go down in that game. By the way, the Cubs, sneaky, are trying to creep up into the wild card. They've been playing well. Today they rallied from 10-3 down. In the fourth quarter, they kicked the field goal and a touchdown two-point conversion, and they rallied to beat Pittsburgh 14-10 today. So the Cubs are starting to
and who started that game?
Pick up a little ground. Paul Skeen started, but he only gave up three runs for the Pirates.
I know that the momentum has shifted to Jackson Merrill for Rookie of the Year,
yeah.
And this is another thing that me and you argue about all the time. But Jackson Merrill was not the favorite on MLB.com this morning when I went on that page.
He's still not.
Skeens was front and center. It's like, can Jackson Merrill catch Paul Skeens? I'm like, what are you guys looking at?
How has he not caught and passed him three times over?
And I know I shouldn't get angry about it because it's not an award.
We're
that's
all
for
taking
me.
It. We are taking.
I'm going to take it personally.
We are all taking it very personally, and we should. If Jackson Merrill gets bypassed for Paul Skeens, at this point, with a month to go. It would be, you know, we'd have to send one of your conspiracy criminal investigators out to figure out what happened. Because right now, this Jackson Merrill should win this in a landslide. But that's with a month to go. Luis Arraez will bat lead off tonight as the lineup has come out. Scraby.
Oh, that would be me.
That would be you.
Sorry, I was watching another home run note.
Arraez will be DHing tonight. I want to talk about that in a second. Profar in left, Cronenworth at first, Manny at third, Bogarts, Maryland center, Peralta in right, Higashioka catcher, McCoy short. So pretty much the lineup you'd expect. Ha-Seong Kim is not yet back from the IL. Some people were critical last night. Arraez was playing first base. Cronenworth was not. There was a ball hit in the first inning that glanced off the glove of Arraez. Remember that play?
I do.
The Cardinals up for first and third.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They end up scoring a run or two in that inning.
Yep.
People said, why isn't Cronenworth playing there and Arraez just be the DH? I get it. Cronenworth's better. And in the playoffs, don't worry. Arraez will be the DH every game.
Yeah.
But for now, it doesn't hurt to keep Arraez more involved. And I want to say one other thing for all of those who don't like Arraez on defense. He made a great... And I'm not even saying mediocre. He made a great play with the bases loaded last night on that ground ball.
Mm-hmm.
I think almost every first baseman in the league would have taken that to the bag and just let the run score. Arraez made a perfect throw home. And to tell you what a good play it was, Campusano had already basically conceded the fact that a run was going to score. And that's why he had to kind of make sure he touched home plate.
Yeah.
But that was a really good play by a guy, Arraez, who takes a lot of crap for his defense.
Hey, and, you know, I put up last night after he stole that base, he just, I mean, I love Luis Arraez. He plays really tough every single night. He's willing to go out there and play defense, even though he's not the best at it. And I put up on X last night. I said, I don't know why people don't like Luis Arraez.
I don't either.
And people were in the mentions. They outed themselves because everybody's like, who doesn't like him? There are people out there that are not happy with Luis Arraez being on the Padres because he doesn't hit for power. But yeah. Luis Arraez is so much more than a singles hitter.
For all of you people that don't like Luis Arraez, you can take your F war and you can go move out of town.
Remember, we declared war.
Take your F war with you. Because Luis Arraez is a terrible player, according to F war.
He's a 0.6 B war.
Yeah, he's barely better than a guy off the street.
Which
according
is insane.
To the war.
Sorry,
he's also about to, you know, can potentially be a three-time batting champ. He is the trigger for this team. I love him. But, you know, you're right, Scrabe. There are people who don't. We'll take a break. We'll check traffic. When we come back, quick Daily Gambit. And then as part of the Daily Gambit, I told you, next Thursday is opening night in the National Football League. A quick glance with early week one odds for the first week of the National Football League. Scott Hansen is right around the corner. Can't wait. Good idea.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Chris, we'll get into that spread for San Diego State and Texas A&M Commerce in just a second. You said we were having fun on the show, and it was funny that someone asked me yesterday, do you ever have like a bad day? And I'm like, yeah, I have a bad day. It's called last season with the Padres. It was so depressing to come in here all the time and talk about a bad team. It's so much easier to do this job when the team is playing well. So much easier.
It is, but I'll answer that by saying we all have bad days, but I'm not going to allow the Padres playing poorly.
But you know that feeling of like, man, we really have to talk about another loss.
No, I really get it. I really enjoy, you know, ripping them just as much as I do, you know, applauding them.
All right, good point.
I get just as much a kick out of both sides of the coin there.
Good point.
There you go. Like San Diego State. I mean, I'm an Aztec for life. But I'm going to be honest with you. If they don't win Saturday night, on Monday, I'm going to have to come in and rip them. Because they really shouldn't lose their opening game. Regardless of where they were last year, the Aztecs are a Division I college football program. Texas A&M Commerce is not. All right? And not only that, Texas A&M Commerce was like 1-8 last year.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
So they're not even a good Division II or III or wherever they are. There is a transfer portal, so nobody knows exactly who's got what. But that said, the Aztecs are deserving, according to DraftKings, 33.5-point favorite. I saw them as a 34.5-point favorite as well. My buddy, Mike Golovko, you know Mike, he's one of our golf guys.
Oh, yes. Yes, I did meet him.
Mike Golovko had a good line the other day while we were playing golf. He said, I bet you Sean Lewis puts up 70 if he can.
Dang.
And I said, you know, that's a mean kind of thing to say.
I don't know that he will.
I think he should, if he can. Are you gonna tell me one thing? If you beat Texas A&M Commerce 34-0, you crush them, you have no problem, etc. Everybody goes, you beat them 72-10. People are gonna around town are gonna go, whoa! Did they just score 72 points? Believe me, I think he should run it up.
I get that.
He's got to try to promote this football program. He's trying to promote Aztec fast offense, points on the board, breakneck speed. There's no better way to do it than if you can put. Now, this is me, the furthest thing away from coach speak ever. No coach would ever say
that's
this.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he seems like that type of coach where he has respect for his
he
opponent.
He does. He got, you know what? Look, you got to have respect for your opponent, but if you could, if it's that type of night where you can put 60 or even 70, the Aztecs have to do it. They're trying to sell a product here.
I get what you're saying.
And you know
saying.
Me, I'm not about that. I don't like that normally. I don't like rubbing it in and running up the score,
et cetera. You tell me that you do every day. You love that stuff.
I don't like that. You know that. You've been around me a long time.
I don't think Sean Lewis is that guy. And I know what you're saying, but I think a good 42-0 win still sends a message.
That sends a message, but 72-0 gets everybody's attention in the town.
I agree.
There's
there,
too. There's a big difference.
I agree there, too.
All right.
All right,
now that I said that, they'll win 13-10 or something in the last-second field goal.
Let's review some of the bets. That would be bad.
That would be bad.
This hour, first, is brought to you by Floor & Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in stock selection. Floor & Decor has more styles of laminate, vinyl, tile, wood, and stone for anyone looking for the right look at the right price. Jeez. Your next beautiful space is at Floor & Decor. Floor & Decor, unbeatable prices, unmatched in stock selection. Now, Padres over under 8 runs with the Cardinals last night. We both said under, and we were both wrong. It was 7-5, so 12 total runs in that one.
They've gone over in each of the first 2 games of the series. Something to
keep in
mind.
Okay.
Sure.
Dodgers were -1.5 on the run line over the Orioles last night. Both of us chose the Orioles, and both of us were correct. The O's won 3-2.
They did.
Verlander and Nola, who had more strikeouts last night in their head-to-head matchup? Nola had 6. You chose Verlander, Chris. I chose Nola. Verlander had 3.
You win.
So I win that one.
On that one. Good
Logan
for you.
Webb, over under 6.1 innings pitched. We both said under, and we were both correct. He went 5 innings last night. Correct? Yeah.
Logan, yeah, only 5. Yeah. Not a great outing for
him. I actually read something about
how they're going to have to limit him down the stretch, possibly, because there's something going on with him. But he's the innings leader in all of baseball. I think you said that yesterday.
Yes.
And it's something to keep an eye on in the National League West. If he can't pitch to his ability down the stretch, I don't know.
Giants aren't making it. No, yeah, Robbie Ray. Yeah. They're not making
that
it.
That would be tough.
They're just not making it.
All right, next one. Aces. The Las Vegas Aces were 10-point favorites over the Dallas Wings. You chose the Aces. I chose the Wings. Wings won this one, Chris. 93-90. Good for them.
Straight up.
Yeah, straight up. Asia Wilson.
Aces are the two-time defending champs. They're getting concerned.
They are getting concerned.
In Las Vegas.
Asia Wilson over under 26.5 points. You went over. I went under. And she was ridiculous. 42 points last night.
What a performance, even in a loss.
Now, Alcaraz was a 10.5 game favorite this over Lee Two.
This was exciting, I must tell you. Go ahead and tell them what the final score was there.
I believe Alcaraz won, but he only won by 10 games.
That's right.
So we lose the bet.
We lost the bet.
I almost went with Lee Two.
You should have gone with Lee. Here's what happened, because I was watching it, because I love the tennis, as you know. Alcaraz was ahead 5-0 in the final set. If he wins the last game 6-0, then he wins the bet. But Lee Two got that last game right before the end of the match.
Oh.
And then when Alcaraz beat him in the next game, he only won by 10 instead of 11. So if you had a wager, it would have come down to one game being played out there between
That's
two guys
crazy.
Who would have had no idea what was
That's
going on.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. All right, let's do a couple of quick picks for tonight. And then I want to give you some week one NFL odds. Padres 1.5 over the Cardinals tonight. Scrape, you believe in 3 in a row? Do you believe
are we not betting on SDSU right now? We're going to wait till Friday, maybe?
Yeah, we're going to wait till Friday.
We have a very short show. Let's bet on them now. Well, I guess we could do it tomorrow, too.
We got plenty of time tomorrow.
Okay. Padres 1.5 on the run line.
You believe? 3 straight?
I do.
You do.
I do. I'm not going to go against them.
I can't go against them right now. They're too hot. Miami, Colorado, 11 runs over under. Mm. Last night it was 9-8.
Yes.
The night we bet on it, it was 3-2.
I know.
So what's it going to be tonight?
You said 11 runs?
Yeah.
Ezekiel Tovar had 2 home runs last night.
He did, Ezekiel.
I'm going to say they do it again. Go over.
Over. It just seems like an over. Chris Sale, 7.5 strikeouts. At Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Chris Sale is the NL Cy Young favorite at this moment. But don't look past his reliever teammate, Raisel Iglesias. Just saying.
You want to get that out there, just in case, which I understand, because that would be crazy if he did that.
All right. Chris Sale, he'll go at Minnesota. Twins, free swingers. He'll go over. It's 8Ks, though. That's a lot. I'll say over.
He averages, 8Ks probably?
Yeah.
I'll say over as well.
Novak Djokovic, 8.5 games over his second-round opponent, Laszlo Djerde.
Laszlo.
I don't know who it is.
Djerde.
How you pronounce this?
Okay.
E-R-E.
Djerde?
Okay. Good enough. Laszlo, 8.5 games. Last night, Lee Two did it with the games. What are you doing tonight?
I don't know that. I feel like Alcaraz doesn't have that killer instinct like Djokovic has.
You going with Joker?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Joker.
I'll go with the Joker, too. New York Liberty, we're talking about them. The WNBA running away with the season. They're in L.A. tonight, and they're 13.5 on the road over the Sparks. They beat the Sparks by like 37 points a couple of weeks ago. I'm taking the Sparks against all odds. Got to have a little pride.
Wait, say that. I was trying to write down the last bet.
The Liberty beat the Sparks by 37 a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
Tonight, they're favored by 13.5. I got to go with the Sparks. Like I said, they got to have some pride.
Liberty, Liberty, Liberty.
All right. Brittany Griner, 18.5 points.
We've made way too many bets on her this week.
Brittany's been big on. We've been big on Brittany this week. 18.5 points against Minnesota. I'm going to say under. Minnesota is quietly the best team in the West.
I'm going to say over.
The Lynx. You're going over. Okay. And finally, Angel Reese, the polarizing rebounder for the Chicago Sky. 14.5 rebounds against Washington tonight. Now, she's been over 20 like 3 games in a row. And one thing we know about Angel, she loves to
that tip back,
get that tip back rebound.
Yeah,
and she also, even though she won't admit it, she kind of likes these little streaks, like her double double streak. And
they're fun.
She loves it. She'll do anything to keep it alive. So, are you going to bet against her 14.5 rebounds? That's great.
No.
Yeah, you're not. You're going over.
Yeah.
I go over too. She might get that in the first quarter. After her first layup, she misses and taps it up there.
Two. Yeah. Her field goal percentage is awful, but her rebounding is great.
I saw a stat that she's like shoots 20% on shots under 2 feet.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, well, that's because she's tipping the ball up and missing all the time.
Wow.
Angel.
That's a lot.
All right.
That's it?
Yeah.
All right.
That's the Daily Gambit. Tomorrow, a week from tomorrow, Ravens Chiefs. It's here already.
I know.
Opening night in the National Football League. Just a quick look ahead. Chiefs are favored by 3, which tells me not a lot.
Are they at home?
They are.
So the game's
that's
even.
That's pretty even. Of course, last year, the Chiefs beat the Ravens at Baltimore in the AFC Championship game.
They did, but
there should be some revenge factor for the Ravens here.
I am predicting, as you were predicting Raphael Iglesias might win, I'm predicting that the Chiefs miss the playoffs this year.
Miss the playoffs
entirely.
No, I'm
not going to go that far. But I'm going to say that they're not as good as they've been in the past. There is just so much going on off the field for this team that I cannot think that they're actually focused on the season ahead.
It bothers me a little bit that nothing has really ever happened or been said any further about Rashi Rice and his, you know, blatant disregard for the law.
Yeah.
And they've just, you know, I don't know. I guess you got to stand behind your guys, but.
You do, but they stand behind the wrong things. This is the team who didn't discipline Kareem Hunt until they found out, or until it went public.
Andy Reid, man. A lot of people love him now, but he's a little hypocritical. I don't want to say hypocritical. I mean, Andy Reid's moves his brother, right? Ended up in jail?
No, his son.
His son.
His son going from the practice facility.
Drunk and killed somebody?
No, didn't kill somebody, but he ran into the back of a truck and he really injured a 5-year-old girl.
Yeah. Andy Reid, I mean, he's a forgiving guy because I think he's seen so much. But I don't know. I see what you're saying. All right, Eagles 2.5 over the Packers. This is the Friday night game.
In Brazil.
Both teams wear green. And says Josh Jacobs, anywhere wears green gets physically harmed in Brazil.
That is interesting.
The NFL tells Josh Jacobs, don't worry about it.
Yeah, you're good.
You're fine, so we'll see. Eagles are 2.5-point pick over the Packers. Remember, the Eagles last year were 10-1 and then just collapsed.
Oh, I remember, Chris.
Yes, they did.
Guess what happened? The 49ers beat them. That whole fight with their security guard, Dom, everything went downhill after that.
You're taking all the credit for their collapse?
I am taking all the credit for their collapse.
Here's my big thing I'd worry about if I was the Eagles. No more Jason Kelce. He's a big part of that tush-push and everything else that the Eagles like to do.
By the way, did you see what they sold their podcast for? The Kelces?
A lot.
$100 million.
$100 million. Yeah. What do you think you and I could sell our podcast for? $1?
10 cents.
Bengals are 9.5 over the Patriots. This is the biggest spread in week one. Bills are 5.5 over the Cardinals. Kyler Murray's
that
back.
That seems low.
You think that's low? But Josh Allen has no weapons this year. So we have to kind of create some new ones. Texans at Colts. Good game. Texans favored by 2.5 on the road. Dolphins, no better than the Jaguars, Scrape. 3-point favorite at home. That's a toss-up, according to the odds makers.
Are the Jaguars going to turn? Is Trevor Lawrence going to turn the corner this year?
Well, 2 years ago he turned the corner. Then last year he
regressed. He also was injured a lot.
Dolphins, I'm just saying, you know, I follow the Dolphins. They're always dangerous in September. It's not December. Look out for Miami.
We got an offer for our podcast, $2.25.
Okay, well.
We're making our way up to 100 million.
Yes, when we get up to the million, let us know. Chicago Bears already 4.5 over Tennessee. It is in Chicago, but I mean, do we have that much confidence already in Caleb Williams before he steps on the field?
Yes, Chris, we do.
I guess so. Vikings are a 1-point favorite at the Giants. It's your guy, Kevin O'Connell, with, you know, Sam Darnold at the helm. Giants, no Saquon Barkley. I don't know.
Daniel Jones at the helm.
That could be kind of ugly. Falcons 3 over the Steelers. That's in Atlanta.
Oh, so they named their starter.
Yeah, that's right. Russell Wilson will get the call for the Steelers, so I will probably be betting the Falcons here.
Oh, will
you? I think Russell Wilson gets the job for 4 or 5 weeks, and then Mike Tomlin has enough of his crap. They don't seem to be on. They're not the same type of person, I don't think. Right?
It doesn't seem like many people mesh with Russell Wilson.
Fair enough. Seahawks are 6 over the Broncos. I don't think that's tells you how good the Seahawks it is. It tells you how bad people think the Broncos are going to be.
Bo Nix is going to be eaten alive.
Raiders at Chargers. I'm a little surprised. I don't know. Chargers by 3.5 here. With gimpy Justin Herbert. But, you know, Harbaugh's Harbaugh. Dallas is at Cleveland. You'd think Dallas would be a big favorite on the first game. Nope, Cleveland by 2.5.
Wow, that is interesting.
A little surprising.
I don't get the Cleveland love, but well, they made like the playoffs them. The last couple years.
Tampa Bay 3.5 over Washington. It's kind of an uninteresting game.
Yeah, it really is.
Jets at San Francisco is the... Oh, I forgot one more Sunday night game. Detroit, 3.5 over the Rams. And then Monday night game, 49ers, only 3.5 over the Jets. The 49ers, they're at home. They get 3 points for being at home. What are you going to tell me? You only think the 49ers are 1/2 point better than the Jets? Based on what we've seen over the last bundle of years?
If I'm going to cry...
49ers go to the Super Bowl. The Jets barely get the 500, if that.
If I am going to cry about the Chiefs having too much going on, the 49ers also had a lot going on that I'm not happy with. Brandon Ayuk is still not traded, but still not with the team. Trent Williams is not going to come back until he gets all the money he wants or else... It's bad news, Chris. Bad news.
All right, you're worried about the 49ers.
I'm always worried about the 49ers.
Now, of course you are. Your favorite team, you're always allowed to be concerned. I don't see that spread, though. Like, I don't... The Jets could win the game, but I don't see giving the Jets that much love based on a 41-year-old quarterback who, although good, hasn't played in 2 years. And going into San Francisco against a Super Bowl team, you're going to tell me the 49ers are only 1/2 point better than the Jets?
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
I don't see that.
It's going to be tough.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Tony Gwynn Jr. Make way. Here comes Sammy Levitz. EcoWater SoCal pregame show. Then another Padre night in St. Louis. We have a full show tomorrow after the game. So we'll be on around 2:30, 3 o'clock after Padre baseball tomorrow. See you then. Don't forget to sign up for our
Eliminator Challenge. 973thefantasy.com.
Thank you very much, Gwynn and Chris. Good night.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners.
It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.